There's a bit of Mango X Mathman featuring Lisa Hannigan. You'll find that on their excellent album Casual Work, which is definitely one of the albums of the year. Now, have you ever wondered how the music industry works? If so, Mix might be the course for you. That's Music Industry Explained. It is run by Hot Press Magazine and it lifts the veil on the music industry and shows you how some of the sausage is made. I'm delighted to have on the line Stuart Clark, the group deputy editor and also hardcore Everton fan, to talk to us a little bit about the Mix programme. Stuart, can you just maybe describe what is Music Industry Explained?
Well, it's a 13-week primer running on a Wednesday night, consecutive Wednesday nights, where you get to see how the whole thing bolts together, whether it's PR, the media side of thing, music managers, marketing, all the different skills get examined. There's an industry professional that comes in every week and has a long chat to you, and you get to ask questions, and that's the important thing, really. There's plenty of time just to sit there and go, right, how does this work, how does that work? A lot of networking. Usually we have about 25-30 people doing the course, so on top of what you glean from the experts, there's a lot of like hovering in corners talking to each other, and quite a few little businesses have hatched as a result of meeting people at the Hot Press Mix course. And we've had a pretty good success rate with people getting their teeth into their first jobs as a result.
Brilliant, brilliant. I mean, it's an interesting one. I was looking through the list of topics you cover. And again, you're talking about kind of publishing, PR, press, radio, all sorts of different areas. And often when you're talking, as my interactions with the musicians in bands, they're chiefly concerned about maybe songwriting, recording, which I know you do get into as well, but they don't, the kind of the more business side of things is often an afterthought. And that is often where an act falls down because they haven't got a clue how to operate. I don't want to say professionally, but if you know what I mean, in the professional sphere. Would you agree with that? Or
Oh, totally, Rob. It's rock and roll, but you also need to be able to read a spreadsheet. You know, even if you're gigging around at a fairly sort of local level, those nice men from the revenue are going to want to hear about it. You know, so you've got to work out how to do accounts and all that kind of a thing. There are also some interesting things now. The job seekers has been extended to include musicians under certain terms. So there's some good news there as well as having to pay the tax man. But yeah, I think really bands need to, obviously, first and foremost, must come the music. You're nothing without it. Mm. But you do need to pay close attention to all the other areas. And what actually has happened quite a bit the last few years, bands will nominate one of their members to do the course and report back. So some of the people, you know, learning these modules are band members who want to continue being band members, but think, well, if I understand how this works and that works, I'm gaining a greater understanding. And it's been very noticeable the last few years talking to bands like, say, Fontaine's DC, that they really know how the business operates. Yeah. And everything the manager sees, the band sees. And I'm not giving any sort of trade secrets away because Trevor Dietz, the Fontaine's DC manager, came to one of our mixed nights and explained from literally hearing the band the first time, you know, bottom of the bill, to getting them onto primetime TV in America, how they made it work. And one of the things is that every single thing is a five-way split, both financially but in terms of decision-making. Right. And he says it sometimes drives people like us mad because you say, can I interview the Fontaines DC? And he'll say, I'll get back to you in a couple of days because that could be the band being on the road. But he will go back and run pretty much everything by them. So that is the kind of level of control and involvement that bands at high levels really should be having. And I think the days of just sort of being, you know, sent a check once a year by your manager and not asking questions are long gone. But, you know, if you don't know which questions to ask, it's not easy. But, they did a survey a couple of years ago, and they reckon there are 10,000 people working directly or indirectly as a result of live music in this country. Wow. So it is quite an industry. As with anything, I think, creative, it is getting that initial foot in the door. And sometimes it seems like you're banging on doors and no one's answering. So this is just to give people a little bit of an edge and to maybe sort of come in thinking, I want to work in PR, but maybe go out going, actually, you know what? I could be a manager.
Yeah, it's interesting that you talk about that, you banging on doors. There was a good book published earlier this year. Johnny Lappin wrote a kind of a memoir about his time and in the music industry, and for many years Johnny Lappin was music publishing in Ireland, and I interviewed him for the show, and he had a great anecdote about, you know, publishing. And he says it's like a plumber coming into your house, water's blocked, and he knocks on the pipes and suddenly the water's freed up again. And he says, you know, how much is that? And he says, oh, that's 100 quid. And he goes, 100 quid for you knocking on two pipes? He said, ah, but I knew what pipes to knock on. And that might be it as well. You know, is that knowing what doors to knock on, or maybe how to approach things, which is often, it can be a bit oblique as well. You know, it can be a bit confusing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Johnny Lappin, funnily enough, is one of the co-founders. He's now in, well, I was going to say retirement. Johnny will never retire.
No.
He always has something on the go. And he is a great man. And he taught me a lot. And I find, you know, I've been working in the business now for a long time. And I know I don't know it all.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes when I was listening to Trevor Dietz, I was going, wow, that's really smart. That's really clever. And it's important, you know, every year we just make sure there are people on the course who are right at the coalface, because the industry changes because of technology so quickly that, you know, have somebody who's brilliant, but maybe out of it for 5 or 6 years, you know, they can still have many nuggets to impart. But, you know, it's changing so fast. And, you know, the vast amounts of money that were sloshing around the industry when I first got involved aren't there anymore. So, you know, I think it's better for bands to have an involvement. But actually, realistically, you know, you can't be giving 15% to this person, another 15% to that person, another, you know, there's not a huge amount of money around the place. You want to make sure if you're a musician, most of it is coming to you. So if you can do a certain amount of kind of the business side of things, so you're in a much stronger position, one, because you're in control of your own destiny, but also financially, you're not having to share that pie.
Mm. So the course mix is starting in February. Is that correct? February 2020?
That's right. Then works over 13 consecutive Wednesday nights. You can give Rachel, the course director, a call. Her direct number is 01241 1542, 01241 1542. And obviously, you know, people have different expectations. She will talk you through everything. I'm available, by the way, as well, if somebody would like to have a chat to me. Rachel does most of the heavy lifting, but if someone sort of thought I could be useful in giving them a few steers when it comes to course, please do, again, through that number, give me a call. It's also on the Hot Press website, if you go into that, extra.hotpress.com/mix, but you'll find a button to hit on the hotpress.com website, which explains it. I think we're into year 15 now, so it's got quite a track record. One of the people who very kindly wrote a testimonial for us just the other day is Michelle Whitehead, one of the chief publicists at MCD.
Mm.
She did the course, and she was saying that for her, it was the knowledge, but that networking, and just being able to go into a job interview and sort of, you know, someone say, so what do you know of the industry? We got to go, oh, well, I've met so-and-so, and I know this person who does that. And I think, you know, sometimes it's that side of it is really important, just to have a few contacts to know what various organizations do and maybe how you can best infiltrate them.
Mm, excellent. Well, so all the details up on hotpress.com, and just look for the mix. There, I saw an article about it there the other day. You can't miss it. Listen, I tell you what, I'm going to play a track, Stuart, and then maybe we might come back and have a brief talk about the current issue of Hot Press, which of course is the annual for this year. So these are the boys who are on the cover and we've been speaking about. This is a bit of Fontaine's DC on Beat 102 103. Irish Beats with Rob O'Connor and B102 103. That's Boys in the Better Land from Fontaine's DC, taken from their album Doggerel, which is the album of the year according to the current issue of Hot Press magazine. It's a lot of people, it's their album of the year. Talking to me on the line is Stuart Clark of Hot Press magazine. We were talking about the mix course, but I'm going to pick his brain about some music items now, because let's face it, that's what Hot Press is famous for. Fontaine's have had some year. We've mentioned them there about like appearing on the US television on Jimmy Fallon, and just a stellar year, selling out gigs all over the place, also releasing a fantastic record in the form of Doggerel. So Fontaine's are the number one album of the year according to Hot Press magazine. Would that also be a personal choice from Stuart Clark?
I think it's fantastic. I had to really, well, I was agonizing between that and Idols. And then I went, oh, Idols was last year by a month or two. So that solved that one. I just think, you know, for me, it's incredible what has happened in a year from almost a standing start. And one of the concerns I had was, would it travel? You know, because would the Americans get it? Sometimes I like things to be a bit spoon-fed culture-wise. And how wrong was I? The States have gone absolutely mad for them. I remember in, I think it was June, on the phone to Matt from The National, and he was saying, you're in Dublin. I was going, yeah. He said, do you know this band Fontaine's DC? And I was going, yeah. He said, oh, they're playing in LA at the weekend. I'm counting down the hours. And he was saying, so I said, people know them? He said, oh, geez, everyone's talking about them. So I thought then, you know, if they'd traveled to the West Coast in terms of getting airplay, they were doing all right. It's been a tough year. I mean, I caught up with Graham, the lead singer, when he was having a morning off in Brighton. Mm. Lovely, lovely guy, very thoughtful. And he wasn't complaining, but he was just saying that it's kind of weird for your state of mind, you know, when you've been very used to, I said, who are you missing and what are you missing? And he said, my dog, who tragically has lost both its eyes this year in two separate operations. He'd be crying. He said, I miss me mam and me dad and playing football with me mates. And it was kind of like, oh, my God. So it is tough. You know, you've lived at home all your life and suddenly you're going around the world. And again, he said, you know, you dream of being told by people you're great. But he says, after a while, again, it starts messing with your head. And what he was saying very strongly was, I'm frightened of changing as a person. Now, you can't help it if you're a rock star, so that's a bit of a journey. But you know, it wasn't the interview I was expecting. You know, there was stuff about selling out venues and hanging out with, you know, famous people. But it was a really thoughtful reflection on fame. And often you don't get that from musicians. So I was really privileged to hear what he had to say.
Brilliant. Well, that's Fontaine's DC, the album of the year from Hot Press Magazine. Doggerel, it's a brilliant listen. If you haven't heard it already, go and do it immediately. Don't listen to the rest of the show. Just go and listen to Doggerel because it's brilliant.
Yeah, good job,
Alan. No, it's fantastic. I know we'll be doing an albums of the year, top 10 Irish albums of the year later on in between Christmas and New Year. And you never know what that might be in there. But also in the list you have, I'm looking at Sorka Richardson, Girl Band, Lancome, The Murder Capital, Mango X, Mathman. It has been a great year for Irish music. Okay, and if you want to find out what Hot Press thought of it, go and check out the current issue. However, would you have a pick for maybe someone to watch out for in 2020? Now, I'm not asking Stuart Clark to be clairvoyant, but is there somebody saying, you know what, that person you should, or that band, you should check them out?
Well, it's a bit of an obvious one because the genie's out of the bottle, but everyone, when they heard that the Bono's son was going to be in a band, were going like, oh, yeah. So how's he getting the gigs? And yeah. I saw him live about 8 or 9 months ago. And I thought, you know, they're solid. Pretty solid.
This is Inhaler, yeah?
Inhaler, yeah. Then I saw him supporting Noel Gallagher, and I thought, actually, you're really good. Then I heard their last single, and I thought, wow. And I've been reading reviews of them over in the States. And you know what? Being somebody's son only lasts for about 3 or 4 minutes. If being related to somebody famous is a guarantee of a career, Chris Jagger would be massive, but he's not. Julian Lennon would be selling out stadiums. That novelty factor only lasts for half a song. He's a real star, Eli, and I think his band. So I think Inhaler, in terms of just being really big over the next 12 months, what's really interesting, I think it's going to be a massive year for hip-hop in this country. Talking to a guy the other day, Adam Jordan, who's from Wexford Town. He spent most of his life living in London. He's worked with people like Joey Badass. He was in Plan B's band, very good mate of Maverick Sabre.
Yeah.
And Adam's going to come back next year. He's got a load of people. Some lads, his name escapes me, New Ross, who's 17. He reckons he's good enough to go to LA, good enough to go to London. So there's a lot of interest now from outside the country. All these people in their bedrooms making great hip-hop.
Yeah.
Maybe don't quite know where to take it next. So I think hip-hop in 2020, Irish hip-hop, is going to really, really explode.
Yeah, Irish hip-hop has really taken a number of very interesting turns this year and last year. I mean, it's been building for quite some time, but it's moved far, far away from being derivative of what's happening in the UK or just aping stuff from the States. It's now got its own voice. It's now got its own many different voices talking about many different things. And I'm blown away by the quality of some of the material that's been produced, whether it's Lethal Dialect, who's been around for quite some time, or say Mango, Mathman. It's just brilliant. Or, you know, Kojak is there, or Jafaris. It's just brilliant. There's great stuff out there. Great.
Oh yeah, you're spot on. That Mango Mathman record is just superb. Kneecap from Belfast.
Oh yeah, of course. That's a unique voice.
Either very silly or brave names, or both. But you know, that they've got the comedy side, but they've also got the tunes. So you know, there's such a broad range of styles and approaches. There's older geezers like Mango Mathman have been around for a few years, and kids who are like 14 or 15. And they've all got something to say. There's a great Limerick rap scene. I was down there recently hearing some of the bands, all sort of rotating around the Rottengano family. I've got a list of names from people in Cork. And there's a fella, what's the name of the guy in Waterford? Is it Seventh
Obi? Yeah.
Yeah, I've yet to hear him, but somebody just the other day said, Stuart.
Oh, he's great.
My tip for... Yeah. So I must check him out. So while you're off listening to the Fontaine DC record, I'm going to be off listening to Seventh Obi.
And check out Alex Goff as well, if you haven't done so already. He's another great guy as well. Listen, Stuart, I've been talking to you now for way too long. This has gone way over, but it's always a pleasure, and you're a mine of information. And if you would like to have a few digs into the mine of Stuart Clark's mind, do check out Music Industry Explained. It starts in February. All the details are up on hotpress.com. Stuart was picking this band as somebody to watch out for in 2020, so this is a bit of inhaler to see us out. Stuart, thank you very, very much, sir.
Thanks, Rob.